You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde.
I'm Marcy Silman. The University of Washington Huskies are looking for a new head football coach. Yesterday, the current coach, or mostly current coach, Steve Sarkisian, took the top job at USC. He leaves behind a team that still has a bowl game to play in the next couple of weeks, and he's also leaving behind $1.5 million. That's the penalty for breaking his contract with the U. So who's the best person to replace Steve Sarkisian? Seattle Times columnist Larry Stone joins us with some analysis. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Marcy. How are you doing?
I'm good, I guess. A little confused. Steve Sarkisian already left, and he's not even going to be coaching the Huskies in their upcoming bowl games. Why is he leaving now?
Well, to get on with recruiting and such, and to avoid competition with other schools, the regular season had ended for USC and for Washington. That's often the time that these moves are made, and once it happens, it's kind of awkward to have the coach continue to coach in the bowl game. Mike Price did it a few years back in the Rose Bowl with Washington State. He had taken the Alabama job, but he still coached in the Rose Bowl, and it was kind of a disaster. So most teams now just go with an interim coach.
How do the players feel about Sarkisian's departure?
Well, there were only two that were kind of made available yesterday, Keith Price and another player, and they both said that they were not angry. They understood it was in the words of Keith Price, it was a family decision and a business decision. And I'm sure there's some hard feelings among some players. A lot of guys were recruited. Well, all of them were recruited by Sarkisian, and many of them probably came because of their affection and affinity for him. So to have your coach leave you, it can be quite jarring. So, but it's also the nature of college sports.
I understand that Sarkisian could be making almost twice as much as the $2 million that the University of Washington was paying him. He had just an average record at the UW. Why is he so appealing to USC?
Well, I think the record, I think they tend to look at it as the extenuating circumstances of taking over a team that was 0-12 the year before he got there, making them a bowl team in the last 4 years he was here. But I think the biggest thing is he has strong USC ties. He was an assistant coach there under Pete Carroll for 7 years. That's where he was when Washington hired him. He grew up in Southern California. He knows SC, and he knows the area there, which is really the hotbed of high school sports, really in the country. Probably the best recruiting area of talent anywhere. And you have to win Southern California in the recruiting wars if you're going to succeed. And I think they see him as a guy that can do that.
Well, his new crosstown rival in L.A. is a guy named Jim Mora, and who's the coach at UCLA. You write the time is right for the Huskies to hire Jim Mora. Who is this guy, and why should he come to Seattle?
Well, he is. His dad was a very prominent NFL and college coach, Jim Mora Sr., who he coached at Washington under Don James. And so Jim Mora ended up growing up in the Seattle area. His teenage years, went to high school here, then went to Washington and played under Don James as a linebacker, played in a couple of Rose Bowls, started his coaching career under Don James as a graduate assistant in the 80s. So the roots are strong. He went on he's been coaching for about 25 years, NFL head coach in both Atlanta and Seattle, and then went to UCLA for his first college job and has succeeded to a high degree. Last year he took the Bruins to the Pac-12 championship game. This year they're at 9 wins and headed for a pretty good bowl. So he has some coaching credentials, and he has strong local ties, so that's a pretty good combination.
Sound like it would be an even swap with Steve Sarkisian, but that's that. Yesterday was a very seismic day, so to speak, when it comes to football, because the team across town from Montlake had a great night. The Seahawks dismantled, I guess you could say, the New Orleans Saints 34-7. What does that say about this Seahawks team?
Well, I think it just emphasizes their place really at the top of the hierarchy in the NFL. This was a Saints team that had only lost twice, was considered one of the best in the league, you know, on a par with Seattle, and they just got totally dominated by the Seahawks, you know, in Seattle. At 11-1, you know, undefeated at home, it's just hard to see. It's hard to make a case for any other team right now being the best in the league. I think the Seahawks have that designation.
It's been a long time since we have had a pro team like that in this town.
That's for sure. Yeah, it's. I think the last time was probably the 2001 when the Mariners won 116 games and set a record, but they didn't even make it to the World Series. So, you know, sometimes those gaudy records don't necessarily translate to the ultimate success, which is what the Seahawks will have to you know, that's what they'll have to do to really make this the season that it looks like it's going to be.
So first they have to get to the Super Bowl. They have to get there before they can win it.
Exactly.
Larry Stone writes about sports football, particularly for the Seattle Times. Thanks for being with me today.
My pleasure.
I'm Marcy Silman, and David Hyde, I know that you watched that monumental Seahawks game last night, yeah?
Yeah, I was over in Ballard in a bar with some friends watching, and honestly, it was. I almost felt bad for New Orleans.
But how bad did you really feel?
Not that bad.
Well, so that's it. That's pro sports. It's interesting listening to Larry Stone.
Yeah, and a minute ago, you guys were talking about the search for a replacement for departing Huskies coach Steve Sarkisian, who's really not been here long enough to be a household name.
Nope.
But my understanding is back in 1992, if you heard that a Huskies head coach was leaving, everybody knew who you were talking about. You were talking about Don James retiring after 20 years on the job. What happened to those days?
Dog fathers don't exist anymore. Earlier today, our colleague Bill Radke asked Jeff Benedict that same question. Benedict co-wrote a book called The System, The Glory and Scandal of Big-Time College Football. And Bill wanted to know what happened to the days of dynasty coaches like Woody Hayes, Bo Schembechler, and Don James.
Those days are, for the most part, they're over. And a lot of that's the result of the big infusion of money that's come into college football through television, primarily ESPN. But 5 years is actually a long time these days for a coach to be with one team in college football. In the last 3 years alone, there have been 72 head football coaches in college football that have been fired. Never mind the ones that have jumped ship like Sarkisian, but the turnover rate in the last 5 years has been unlike anything college football's ever seen in the coaching ranks.
So if there's all this turnover and coaches typically get fired, how does that explain the huge salaries they command? Almost $3 million for Steve Sarkisian at the UW.
Yeah, and his salary is in line, frankly, with top-tier coaches in the best conferences, which are the Pac-12, where USC and University of Washington are, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12. Those super conferences are the coaching salaries are in the range of between $1.5 million to $4.5 million a year for a head coach. Those numbers, you know, 10 years ago, that would have been unheard of. But again, that's a direct result of the massive infusion of money that's coming from television. The ESPN and CBS and Fox television deals with these conferences have become so big that on one hand, schools can afford to shell out that kind of money, and it's sort of a situation where the schools they're feeding into the system because the fear is, well, if we don't offer him $3 million, then he'll go somewhere else. And so there's this grab effect by the schools to try to grab these few coaches that are considered good enough to coach at this level, and you're seeing these salaries escalate exponentially each year.
And what do you think that all that money has done to our love of college football?
Well, the truth is people complain about the salaries and the money and stuff, but the fact is at the end of the day, it's not having any negative effect on eyeballs. People who are tuning in on Saturday or Thursday night or Friday night or Saturday night or filling the stadiums. The stadiums are full every week. And the ratings confirm that people's appetite for college football has not gone down. It's gone up. And that's why the menu of options for watching these games is much bigger. In fact, in the Pac-12, where the University of Washington plays, you can now watch virtually every game that's played on television. You know, 5 years ago, there were basically USC, UCLA, and occasionally the University of Washington on national television. That was pretty much it.
That's Jeff Benedict. He's a special features contributor for Sports Illustrated and the co-author of the recent book, The System, The Glory and Scandal of Big-Time College Football. He spoke to our colleague, Bill Radke.